Chapter 5. My plan fails. Damn Vervuk all to hell. The unthinkable. She was killed. Not at once, of course. The back grip of the Titan's terrible sentience tore into her, overwhelmed her untouchable quality by dint of its sheer force, and broke her mind. Electrical discharge crackled down the haft of my runestaff, throwing Rassi and myself away and blasting Elizabeth back across the chapel. The scorch marks are still visible on the uncorruptible steel. The perfectly etched fingerprints of Paul Rassi, Gregor Eisenhorn, and Elizabeth Beckwin. Nail told me afterwards that the psychic recoil had tossed Rassi and myself to either side like dolls, but the main force had been directed at Beckwin. She had flown through the air a dozen meters, her cloak fluttering out, and cracked off the back wall of the chapel with a sound that Nail knew meant snapping bones. He ran to her, calling her name. Fischig lurched forward too. Rassi and I lay on the ground, weeping and gasping. The runestaff, steaming, had landed on the stone floor between us with a clang. My plan had failed dismally and completely. Blood trickling from my nose, I got up, Swole and Ha helping me. I had little idea where I was. Images of the age of strife still permeated my mind.
Rassi, I gasped. Alive, said Burgundy,
crouching next to the sprawled Inquisitor.
But he's weak. Elizabeth?
I asked softly, looking to where she lay. Fischig and Nail were huddled over her. Nail looked back at me and shook his head.
No,
I said, pushing Kara Swole away as I stepped forward. Not Elizabeth. Not her. After all this time.
She's hurt bad, boss,
Nail said.
I'll try to make her comfortable, but...
The tread of Cruor Volt echoed outside. I staggered towards Beckwin. She looked so still, so broken.
Oh, sweet Emperor, please, no.
Inquisitor, said Ha, we're dead now, aren't we? For sure.
I realized slowly that the Titan was right outside.
What are you doing?
Burgundy yelled at me. I had no idea. I was only partially conscious. I had Baba Isaita in my fist and was running for the door. I think I meant to go out and face the Titan with my sword. That's how far gone I was. One man with a sword, intent on facing down a battle Titan. Before I could reach the door, I heard the scream of down jets and the chatter of cannon fire. I didn't have to look out to know it was my gun cutter. Damn Medea!
Thorn to Aegis, the spite of justice! Belay! Belay! Thorn requires Aegis, the shades of eternity. Razor Delphus pathway, pattern ivory. Thorn denies, the cover of stillness. Belay! Aegis responds to Vervuk, the matter quite done. No!
I bellowed.
No!
Medea's response had told me that she was following Bastion Vervuk's orders now. He had commanded her to take the gun cutter up. He had ordered her to attack the Titan. I honestly believe that he thought he was helping me, that he could do some good.
Damn Vervuk! Damn Vervuk all to hell!
I ran outside in time to see the majestic raptor shape of my gun cutter burning in low across the PDF station, blazing its guns at the slowly turning Titan. The streams of high-caliber shells were just pinging off the giant's thick, armored skin. Cruor Volt turned with a scrape of metal against metal, raised its right fist, and fired. The conical flame flash of its muzzle gases, white-hot to the point of incandescence, twitched and flickered around the Gatling blaster. The cutter bucked and lurched as the first round struck it. It tried to evade, but the air was too thick with pelting bolts. The ferocious salvo ripped the belly out of my beloved gun cutter and tore off a tail wing. Spewing flames and smoke, the cutter veered off, debris cascading away from its shredded hull. It tried to climb. Its main engine stalled out. Leaving a wide streak of smoke behind it in the air, the cutter banked violently to the left, ripped a wing strut through the edge of the ancient rusted dish, and dropped. It hit the shore of the lake, burying itself in the beach mud and shingle, leaving a smouldering groove 30 meters long behind it. I stumbled forward, trying to see, but the main bulk of the downed cutter was obscured by buildings. It was ablaze, I could tell that much. Krua Vult began to pace slowly towards the beach. I had a sudden mental image of a hunter walking to his wounded quarry, preparing to fire a final point-blank kill shot. Around the corner of the next longhouse, I could see down the glinting shingle of the icy lakeshore. The Titan was crunching away from me, its vast treads leaving perfect indentations of pulverized pebbles behind it. The cutter was half on its side, a mangled, truncated wreck, driven down into the scree and hard, cold mud of the shoreline. Wretched black fumes were boiling out of its innards, and curls of steam were rising where the lake water was in contact with flaming debris. There was a little tinny bang, and an exit hatch blew out of the cutter's flank, fired off by explosive bolts. A figure, clearly injured, fell out of the hatch and began to struggle up the beach. It looked like Vervuk. The Titan was only 50 meters from the crashed vessel now, its feet lifting sprays of water as it strode through the beach-lined shallows. I became aware of movement beside me. It was Ha, his long las raised and aimed at the Titan, a defiant gesture so full of courage it quite eclipsed its own basic stupidity. Kara Swole was close behind him, anxiously accompanying Rassi, who had dragged himself out to join me. He looked half dead from his trials in the mind link, his eyes sunken and dark, his lips tight and bloodless. I wondered how the hell I looked. Begundi followed after them. He'd holstered his pistols again. He knew firepower like that was pointless. Fishig and Nail had stayed by Elizabeth's side in the chapel. Rassi had my rune staff, and was using it to stay upright. "Get back," I said to them all. "Just get back. There's nothing we can do."
"We fight," gasped Rassi. "We fight the arch-enemy in the name of the God-Emperor of mankind. Until we drop."
He raised my rune staff and used it to amplify his weary mind. Psychothermic energy, manifesting far more powerfully than it had done through his cane, spat at the towering back of the great Titan. I don't know if he hoped to hurt it. I don't know if he was so far gone by that stage to believe he could. I think he was simply trying to distract it from the cutter. Rassi's scorching arc of flame seemed so devastating as it swirled out of the rune staff beside me, so bright it hurt my eyes, so hot it singed my hair. But by the time it struck the Titan, its true scale was woefully revealed. It flared uselessly off the Titan's rear torso cowling. But still, he kept it going. The psychothermic fire turned green and then blue-white. Ha started to fire his weapon. I think Kara did too. Like kisses into the whirlwind, my old master Hapshant would have said. Krua Vult raked the cutter's wreck with blaster rounds. The first few instants of the merciless blitz ruptured the hull, twisting it, deforming it, dashing shards of metal up across the shore and out over the lake, peppering it with splash ripples. The cutter seemed to writhe, as if it was trying to escape the bombardment. In truth, it was simply being shifted and jolted as the hurricane of shots hammered it from end to end and shredded it. Then it exploded. A big, bright flash, a cudgeling boom and a rush of shockwave. The blast ripped a hole in the beach and sent a significant tidal wave back across the lake towards the far side. Where the cutter had been, where Medea, Amos and Dahold had been, was just a pit of leaping flame. Debris, water and pebbles rained down painfully like an apocalyptic cloudburst. The Titan virtually disappeared in a sudden outrush of steam. Vervuk had been 50 meters from the wreck, stumbling inland the last I had seen him. When I dared raise my head from the rain of shingle, there was no sign of him. Its murder done, the Battle Titan turned on us. I was knocked flat, and I struck my head so hard on a prefab wall I blacked out for a second. I discovered later that Begundi had taken me down into what little cover was available with a desperate flying tackle. Krua Vult had improved its aim. The cold island air was full of mineral dust from the pebbles and rock that had been atomized by its blaster fire. Rassi and Ha simply didn't exist anymore. They had been vaporized by the mega-grade military weapon. My rune staff, blackened but intact, lay on a wide patch of ground that had been transmuted to furrowed glass by the hideous alchemy of blaster fire. The only other trace of them was a small, broken section of Ha's las rifle. Kara Swole lay 20 meters away, where the blast had thrown her. She was covered in blood, and I was sure she was dead. And I was sure we were dead, too. Thuring had won. He had killed my friends and allies in front of my eyes, and now he had won. I had nothing left to fight him with. I had nothing that could take on the power of a titan. I'd had nothing when this one-sided duel began, and I sure as hell had nothing left now. An idea came upon me, insidious and foul, wrenched into the light by the extremity of my position. I shook it off. It was unthinkable. The notion was revolting, inexcusable. But it was also true. I did have something. I had something more powerful than a titan. If I dared use it. If I had the audacity to unleash it. Unthinkable. Unthinkable. Kruor Volt thundered towards me through the ebbing stream. I could hear the whine of the autoloaders in its massive Gatling assembly, connecting up fresh munition hoppers. I could see the beach pebbles at my feet, thousands of them, skipping slightly with every step it took.
Bex.
Sir.
Get Kara. And run. Go for the chapel.
Sir, I...
Do it now,
I willed, and he sprang up, running fast. I crawled over to the rune staff and grabbed its haft. It was hot to the touch and sticky with blood. Duclane Haar and Paul Rassi would have to serve as the sacrifice, I realized pragmatically, already disgusted with myself. There was no time, no opportunity to do anything more elaborate. As it was, I had scarcely any of the tools, devices, unguents, charms, or wards that I would normally have believed necessary to undertake an action like this. I caught myself. Until that very moment, I had never even considered undertaking an action like this, no matter the preparations. Kneeling on the vitrified ground in the path of an oncoming Chaos Battle Titan, holding upright in both hands a rune staff slick with the blood residue of two beloved friends, I began the incantations. It was hard. Hard to remember word perfect the pertinent verses of the Malus Codicium, a work I had studied on and off for years in secret. These were writings I had been eager to learn and understand, but which filled me with dread all the same. After my first sabbatical to study the Codicium, just a few months after the execution of its previous owner Quixos, I had been forced into retreat to recover, and required counselling from the abbots of the Sacred Heart Monastery on Alsor. Now I was trying to remember the same passages, driving myself, struggling to repeat writings I had once struggled to erase from my mind. If I got even a word wrong, a phrasing, a point of vocabulary, we would all be dead at the hands of an evil far worse than Kruor Volt.